Dr. Franklin, Al-Akhbar English, a newspaper published on November 25, 2013, and for the writer, Sami Klaib, posted a picture, and above the picture wrote, Iran nuclear deal, a turning point in the region. Of course, the writer highlighted under the picture that these are Iranian newspapers headlining the deal made with major powers over Iran's disputed nuclear deal are displayed on the ground outside a kiosk in Tehran on November, of course, with this picture under it. What can we know here? That's how important the news was for all the newspapers to actually to highlight this picture of Iranian foreign minister with John Kerry and the agreement that happened back then.
Yes, I do. And it wasn't just in Iran. It was around the world, certainly in America. You could almost feel a collective sigh of relief. And we all have great hopes. Tough negotiations ahead. We can't predict the outcome, but this was something that the people of Iran, the Islamic Republic, the people of America and around the world wanted. The only ones holding out and are criticizing the Zionist lobby in America and the Zionist government in this region.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that's a good summation instantly of
how important the news was, definitely. The writer said that Iran and the Western powers finally did it. He said that after long and difficult negotiations, they came to an agreement on Tehran's nuclear program, which will likely have an impact on the region for years to come. At the beginning, Doctor, was it that hard and difficult and long negotiations? Meaning that were there any secretive meetings before the final results were out?
Well, the reports are that the Americans and the Iranians were meeting for nearly a year. Perhaps you saw that, and that's one of the reasons why a couple of months ago, remember Jeffrey Feltman. So I think there was a lot of preparatory work. I think the problem was just the ill will that existed for has existed deeply for 3 decades, 30-some years. So it wasn't easy, but also there's a lot of technical problems that apparently they've been wrangling over. And of course, what happened was this red line. The Americans said that our red line, and Israel was frantic about this, no nuclear enrichment. The Islamic Republic said our red line is nuclear nuclear enrichment. The result is that the Iranian position prevailed. The Americans stood down, and because of the P5 and the fact of this agreement, it now actually expands and builds on international law.
Yes.
International law, I would argue, favored a state, any state having the right for peaceful resistance. Mm-hmm. But there were disputes about this. Now, as this act becomes instant international customary law, there's no longer any question.
Yes.
Every state has this right. So this crisis has, you know, achieved an advancement, we can say, in international law.
Mm-hmm. Why was it kept secret, though, if negotiations were held throughout or a year ago, as you highlighted? And of course, most newspapers also expressed that they were actually holding secretive meetings every now and then. Why was it kept hidden?
I think it was a case where you could justify the secrecy, because in the Islamic Republic, apparently there are factions, hardline factions, the Death to America groups, America groups, who were absolutely opposed to any compromise, and it's certainly the case in America with the Zionist lobby. So I think it was a classic example that the parties decided to see and test each other's attitude in private. No reason to have every leak on the international headlines and churn the thing. So I think that was good diplomacy in this case.
Of course, the writer said, but don't expect these changes. Of course, speaking about the impact of this agreement on the region, he said that, but don't expect these changes to unfold quickly. There are local powers who feel that the agreement is detrimental to their interest and therefore must be contained at all costs. Actually, do you agree or disagree here? Will the result or the impact of this agreement immediately be seen in the region, or we will have to wait for years to come and then eventually missions will be resolved or countries with crises can be resolved as a result of this agreement?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to take years. I think the next 6 months are going to teach us if this was a viable idea or if it was just a short-term enthusiastic project, because there's still some tough things to be ironed out. But
yes,
there's no question that the local parties, and we know who they are, the Gulf countries in Israel, are caught off guard. They don't know what to do. They are terrified that the Americans and the Iranians may return to the period, their long period of good relations, and that there won't be the interest for America to be such a military power over here, leaving only Israel, to fend the claiming for themselves. So, I'm not surprised that there's some doubts.
He said that already Iran is in a strong position militarily, diplomatically, and politically to increase its influence in the region.
Absolutely, and they did that, remember, while bearing the most pressured layers and layers of sanctions that any country in the world has ever been, and yet they were able to do a pretty amazing job with those.
Okay.
So I think that's part is true.
Think Doctor, can you
enormously
therefore can we say that this steadfastness throughout the years, despite massive sanctions applied on Iran, is what led to this agreement today?
I would say so. Mm. I think, again, it's the pillar of resistance, the culture of resistance, the era of resistance. They stood with it. The people suffered there, but they seem to have enough support for the government's position. And so far, it looks like the government has been vindicated. Mm. Again, we have to see what's going to happen. But so far, it looks like that the resistance and sticking with it achieved something remarkable.
Okay, the gradual lifting of sanctions will go a long way to improve the country's economic performance and increase the flow of cash to the government coffers. All this will help Tehran address many of the outstanding problems that riddle the region, from Syria to Iraq and to Lebanon even.
Yes.
That's how optimistic the writer is concerning that.
Yes. And I don't think that's an exaggeration, but we could add to that.
Yes.
Sure, there's going to be government-to-government benefits, but look at the benefits for the people. Visa requirements lessened, cultural exchanges rampant, educational exchanges, international conferences, social intercourse and the rest of it, and business. Everybody's going to benefit.
Yes.
Because, America, one wouldn't be too sympathetic because they imposed the sanctions, but they suffered too. A lot of American businesses were not happy about these because they wanted to trade.
Okay.
This is what they do.
When actually an analyst along the region wants to look at the case, they say that it's because United States today is in deep need for any economical help from Tehran, and they see Iran today as a good or a great national resources, a country with a great national resources, and that's why they were interested to actually have a new diplomatic talks and also a new agreement on the table for the benefit of the USA. Do you agree?
I would say that was no doubt an element in it, but I think the
because of its economic crisis.
Yeah, that's a factor and probably an important one, but I think the major one is the ennui, the tiredness of the American people with fighting foreign wars in the name of some sort of humanitarian values and democracy. There's not an American I can imagine, except for some Zionist Israel firsters in the Congress and in the population, neocons, who could be proud and look an Afghan in the eye.
Yes.
What American could raise and look in the eye of an Iraqi? And those 15 years of criminal wars, it's ruined our education, our infrastructure, it's affected the medical, it's affected our self-esteem, it's ruined our respect around the world. Americans don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama, to his credit, I think, sees on that, he believes that, and what he did in this was he wanted to avoid war.
Yes.
He didn't want it. He did it 3 weeks ago in Syria, remember.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to go to war. They wanted to fight. They want to bomb now. There's still people yesterday in the U.S. Congress said, we got to have these tough sanctions.
Yes.
And this Bachman lady who ran for president, if you can believe that, she says, we still should bomb Iran.
Yes.
So there's always the 10 or 8% who are off the charts, but the mainstream support the president. And he's right in this case, in my opinion.
The gradual lifting on sanctions will go along to improve the economy performance and increase the flow of cash to the government's coffers in Lebanon. And then the writer said that in Lebanon, for example, the political deadlock that has paralyzed the government is not likely to be resolved soon, as the Saudis play a key role in this file. Keeping the country hanging in this way makes it vulnerable to the kind kind of security breaches like the recent double suicide bombing against the Iranian embassy in Beirut. As if people are more optimistic that this Iranian-US agreement will have a positive implications on Syria and not on Lebanon.
Well, we don't know.
Because the Saudis are involved in Lebanon and probably control most of the decisions.
Let us assume that that's true. But remember, the last few days, who are the Iranians reaching out to? The Saudis. Who are the Americans pressuring a little bit? The Saudis. At the Saudis, there is a possibility, bizarre as it may seem to us at this point, that there could be an accommodation between the Wahhabis and the Islamic Republic. We don't know, or at least a modus operandi that would lead to stability, because everyone, I think, of goodwill wants to see Lebanon come out of this a dark period of being controlled or influenced too much by foreign interests. So I'm not sure it's clear. We'll have to wait and see if how tough they are on that.
Okay. However, all indications suggest that the West's priority in the region, and particularly in Syria, is the fight against terrorism. Already, Syrian government forces have registered sustained advances against the armed groups on critical fronts, such as Damascus, Aleppo, and Kalamun, with instances of opposition fighters surrendering increasing by the day. Such success on the ground in the Syria area in Syria are far more important to Tehran than to strike back against those it believes were behind the attack. And of course here a lot of people ask about the relationship between Syria and Iran, and if sanctions are lifted on Tehran, so therefore more weapons and more money will be sent to Syria to help the Syrian government stay in place. Many analysts do not understand how the U.S. did not get that when lifting the sanctions, therefore, economy is increasing, more money is found with the Iranians, and then, therefore, they can send it to Syria to save Bashar Assad and win the war over there.
Yes. Maybe, you mentioned the American priority being the war on terrorism, but as we've seen, they miscalculated. In Afghanistan, Iraq, terribly. Libya, my gosh, look at the mess they've created. I think now there's a reassessment going on in Washington and in the White Hall, and even maybe reluctantly in France and Turkey, that they misjudged this thing. You remember the words of Obama, oh, Bashar will be gone in 3 weeks.
Yes.
They misjudged that. I think we're going to see the Russians, the Iranians, the Americans, and others do some kind of accommodation, because there is a serious matter of over 1,000 different jihadists, Salafis, Wahhabist-oriented groups, and they're destroying the country.
Yes.
They're out of control. Somebody's got to get control, and it looks like the White House is thinking, well, after all, maybe the Assad regime should be the one to finish this job, because who else is going to do it?
Okay. While Syria's Minister of Information was quick to point the finger at Saudi Arabia, Iranian officials accused Israel of being the mastermind, leaving it to radical Islamist elements to carry out the operation. Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif went so far as to publish an editorial in the Saudi official today, Ash-Sharq al-Awsat, titled "Our Neighbors Are Our Priority," in a reference to mending fences with Riyadh. What's the writer trying actually to highlight here, in your opinion?
Well, that we can't be sure.
Can any kind of an agreement be happening between the Persian Gulf and Iran, a kind of a settlement?
There's a lot of suspicion, a lot of hope, speculation that exactly that could be happening. And the reason people are willing to give that serious thought, which they wouldn't have probably 3 months ago, is this momentous achievement. Hopefully it won't be just temporary, that was done last week. So now who knows which, I mean, there are some who are saying that I don't think this is the case, but Israel saying they've got feelers out there. I mean, that seems hard to imagine that there'd be an accommodation involving them, but it's not impossible.
Okay. Of course, another article from Al-Akhbar, for Israel-Iran nuclear deal, a bitter reality, of course. The writer said that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu summarized the feelings of failure and anxiety in Israel in his immediate comments following the agreement, when he called it a historic mistake. From your perspective here, do you think that that this agreement kind of shook the union, or at least devastated the union between U.S. and Israel? Did it even affect it?
Yeah,
because lately U.S. feels that, as if according to its economic crisis, it feels that Israel is a burden on its shoulder with the huge amounts of money that it should pay every year.
Yes, which is nearly $8.8 million every day of the year, almost $7 billion a year. So it is a huge strain. What's happening, though, is the American people slowly, slowly are becoming more aware, and more than 60% in a poll just yesterday want to disengage from Israel. It is clear that Washington and the White House and Hagel and Kerry, Secretary of Defense and State, they know that Netanyahu has declared war on Obama and the White House. Not only that, this week he sent his National Security Advisor, Cohen, to go to Washington. Did he go there to talk with the president and the CIA? No, he went there to talk to AIPAC. He went there to talk privately to make foreign policy between Israel, not in our government, but with elements in Congress
We do have the right to actually view the relationship between the U.S. and Israel amid such an agreement with Iran. We still have the right to actually view it as strong and firm and stable?
Not stable, less firm. I guess you'd have to say it's still strong, but that's, you know, the Berlin Wall came down fast.
Yes.
Opening to China happened fast.
Exactly.
You can't predict.
Yes, and politics.
They're very frantic over there, and I think that the American people are ready for a change.
Okay. The deal also recognized Iran as a nuclear power, one that is capable, as everyone now agrees, including Israel, of producing nuclear weapons if Tehran has the political will to do so. Over the past few years, Israel spared no means to prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power, including hostile acts, through which Israel tried to technically obstruct the progress of Iran's nuclear program. Threats of military action and international sanctions. These sanctions had a harsh effect on the Iranian economy. Tel Aviv wavered on economic pressure to defeat Tehran from within. Otherwise, as Israel wanted, the United States would be pushed to take even more stringent measures against Iran, including a military action. How much was the impact of this agreement on Israel specifically, Doctor? Because, of course, they are afraid of Iran being able to continue its nuclear program and, of course, to launch any war on Israel.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a long time in coming, this recent development, which is clear. More clear now than ever, although I would argue it's been clear for more than a year, that Americans aren't going to go to war with Iran, and they're not going to give any green light to the Israelis. They're not going to join Israel. They were on their own. I think that Israel is not truly worried very much about Iran. Mm-hmm. Remember, they used to say the same thing about the PLO, and they used to say the same thing about Hezbollah. What they do is use this against in the U.S. to get more aid, to get more arms. What are they going to do with all those arms? Mm-hmm. They're headed, frankly, for the dustbin of history, and they don't know what to do about it. Okay. So I'm not too concerned about, you know, that particular development.
Okay. Dr. Franklin Lamp, an international lawyer, thank you for your analysis, and thank you for being with us in Weekly Scope. Dear viewers, that's all the time that we have. Thank you for watching.